بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is the Ash'ar of Arif Billah Hazrat Akhtas Hazrat Mulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtas Sahib Nawar Allahu Marqadahu. The title is Jalsa-e Qurb-e Muhabbat. محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر گیرو ترجتا ہے زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر گیرو ترجتا ہے اگر کی راہ تکانے ہزاروں غم بھی آتے ہزاروں غم بھی آتے مگر جو عاشق صادق ہے غم کو سہ کر لیتا ہے مگر جو عاشق صادق ہے غم کو سہ کر لیتا ہے محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے فلاں عشق مجاز کا یہ کیسا ہے ارے توبہ فلاں عشق مجاز کا یہ عاشق روتے رہتے ہیں سنم خود سے چلتا ہے کیا عاشق روتے رہتے ہیں سنم خود سے چلتا ہے محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے خطا کی اگر آئی ہے دامن پر ذرا سیاہی خطا کی اگر آئی ہے دامن پر ذرا سیاہی تو اپنے ڈرتا ہے تو اپنے آنکھ کیسے کو ڈرتا ہے محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا ہے زبان خاموش رہتی ہے مگر دل ڈرتا ہے گناہگاروں کی رکھتا تقدیر کے ظاہر دینا جا گناہگاروں کی رکھتا تقدیر کے ان کی آہ زاری پر فلک بھی روتا رہتا ہے کہ ان کی آہ زاری پر فلک بھی روتا رہتا ہے محبت میں کبھی ایسا زمانہ بھی گزرتا
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد It's beautiful بيان of our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi وقت تبلیغ زمانہ حضرت شاہ حکیم محمد افتر صاحب نور اللہ مرقدہ حضرت is teaching us in this بيان which حضرت presented so beautifully in poetic form that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life actually to get the closeness and proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person gets the real enjoyment of life in this world already. And what can be said in the year after when a person gets the meeting with Allah Rabbul Izzat. So Hazrat Jai is explaining that if a person realizes that my object and purpose is to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and start spreading the spark of the love of Allah through the guidance of a sheikh, then only a person will able to reach the stages closer and closer to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And Ya Hazrat is explaining a very, very high stage which we can learn and understand that what closeness the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have got with Allah Rabbul Izzat. Hazrat says in the spot of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such a condition and such stations come that jalsa e qurb e muhabbat, that a person gets that life moment now and then, that a person is very, very close to Allah Rabbul Izzat, enjoying the closeness and the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that so to say he is in a different world. Outwardly he looks just silent, quietly, but what closeness he has got to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Ordinary people like myself, we cannot understand this. Hazrat is just giving us an idea of what the reality of the spark of the love of Allah Ta'ala is, that as a person progresses and comes regularly to the majlis of his Shaykh, follow the teachings of his Shaykh, then a person will see, he will progress. Hazrat says, Muhabbat mein kabhi Isa zamana bhi guzarta hai, zuban khamoosh rehti hai, magar dil rota rehta hai. That in the spark of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes such moments come in the life of a person that his tongue is just quiet. He's not even talking anything. He's not even saying anything. People will think he's just quiet, but he is in a different world. That his heart is crying and throbbing with Allah Rabbul Izzat. That, O Allah, you gave me this life. I still haven't reached you. Although they are so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Muhammad. One of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Mawlana Wasilullah rahmatullah alayhi, used to say that if you can't benefit in my silent majlis, then you won't benefit in my talking majlis. In other words, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's rahmat is descending all the time because their hearts are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat explained on one occasion, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Ahmad Pratap Gadi rahmatullah alayhi most probably was giving bayan, and all of a sudden he just kept quiet and in the middle of his bayan, and then Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullah alayhi was sitting in that same bayan. Hazrat Awadara Shaykh Hazrat Shah Ki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi was next to him, and when they looked up at Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Ahmad Pratap Gadi rahmatullah alayhi, Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullah alayhi said that Hazrat is not here now. He is actually by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He just kept quiet all of a sudden that bayan. So exactly the same, the friends of Allah, we cannot understand this reality, but we should beg Allah ta'ala to give us an outa, an inkling of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to get this, Hazrat explained that a person has to be constant in treading the path of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat explained, اگرچہ راہ تقویٰ میں ہزاروں غم بھی آتے ہیں مگر جو عاشق صادق کے غم کو سہتا رہتا ہے. That although in the path of taqwa, gaining this close proximity and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get thousands and thousands of so-called worries and so-called pains in your heart, that this is troubling you, shaitan will trouble you, put all types of evil whispers in your heart. And if you think you are a pious person, then you will put the whispers of fame, the whispers of a person wants to have name and fame or pride, Allah Ta'ala save us, or whatever conditions come in the life of a person, where there is family problems, whatever. But in the path of the love of Allah, a person goes through all these difficulties. If a person is an ashik-e-sadiq, this is what Hazrat has taught us, that we should be talib-e-sadiq, that all the time be a true seeker. If you are a true seeker, then never ever will you reach a point of that you think that, no, I have reached Allah Rabbul Izzat. No, you realize I'm still far from reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you don't become a qani, that you don't become just, you are happy that, no, I attend majlis regularly, I have reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a person does not progress. Hazrat explains three conditions in the life of a person. What we should be is talib-e-sadiq, all the time seeking the truth and seeking the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person will progress all the time. Otherwise, a person becomes a qani, that you are just happy, complacent with your condition. And then such a person, Hazrat has given us a beautiful example. If you take a ball according to the weight of that ball and how high you throw it, it will go to that level. And after that it won't go higher, it will come down. So if a person is a qani, then he feels, no, I'm contented, but he'll start coming down. And he won't realize, he'll be slipping and he'll be moving away from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many a times we see we slip, and then a person misses majalis, etc., not realizing this. And says a person should not go into a worse state, that a person becomes not even a qani, not even that he is contented and happy with him, but he starts now taking out faults. And you come to the majlis to hear and take out mistakes, etc. And Allah Ta'ala says, we, all of us, Hazrat explained, one person, he went to Markaz Nizamuddin, and people explained to him that there you go, you'll get lot of benefit. But he was a new person, he still didn't know the reality of the great work of Tabligh and Jamaat and the benefit of the elders. So when he came there, it was Namaz time, and obviously Namaz time is so busy there, people have just made wuzu in the hall, so the place looks a bit of a mess. So when he came there, he saw this mess, he didn't really sit in the programs, etc., and he came away. When he went back to his hometown, he met the buzurg, the pious servant of the town, and he told Hazrat that everybody is saying Nizamuddin is a place where you will benefit. But it's a dirty place there. is now the system there. Nazareth understood that he didn't sit in the program, he didn't take benefit from the Mashiach there. Then Hazrat explained to him so beautifully. He says, if a pig goes into a beautiful garden also, then the pig won't see all the roses and won't see all the daffodils and beautiful flowers. He'll grow in one corner and dig up till he finds the dirt, and that's what he will look for. So we shouldn't come here with that type of intention in the majlis, then a person loses out totally. So Hazrat explains, in the spot of the love of Allah, go through whatever conditions come to you. Never ever give up. All the time, just progress. Otherwise, if a person just falls, then what happens? Hazrat explains, you go into a very terrible condition, and that is, Sila ishke majazi ka ye, kaisa hai are toba, ke aashiq rote rehte hai, sanam khud sote rehta hai. You lose off, you go off the path of the love of Allah, you fall in the path of illicit love affairs. And all these terrible conditions. Then Hazrat explained, what is the result of this? Tawbah, we can't even imagine it. Yet you see a person that is involved in illicit love affairs, Allah Ta'ala save us, his mind is in a total different state. That he looks like he is with you, but he is far from you. We not even in salah, we not even in our own homes, your own wife also, your halal wife. You next to her, but you far from her. Hazrat says, such a terrible condition of this person, that now he is fallen in love with some illicit love affair, woman on the street, whatever. So that is like his idol. He is crying middle of the night and thinking of his idol. And she is fast asleep. She doesn't even know that you're thinking of her. Whereas Allah Rabbul Izzat, that any moment you just think of Allah, Allah Ta'ala immediately knows, and Allah Ta'ala's full attention comes to a person. So when a person is a talib, a sadiq, and a true lover of Allah, then you will see Allah Ta'ala's focus will be all the time on you. Otherwise a person goes into this terrible state. And if you realize this also, a person shouldn't think that now I am doomed. And as Hazrat explained so beautifully, if you think you are nalayiq, that I am in a terrible condition now, I'm involved in illicit love affairs or whatever other love of this world, whether it's sports, cars, or a person got involved in intoxicants, etc., the way out is very simple. Hazrat says, if you think you're nalayiq, that you are totally rotten, then laiqo ke paas aa jao. Just come and sit in the gathering of those that are worthy servants of Allah. And just connect your heart, just sit with an attentive heart, and then see what will happen. That khatao ko khatao ki agar aayi hai daman par zara siyahi, to apne aansuon se ishq usko dhota rehta hai. That when a person realizes that I have dirtied myself, like how your clothes get dirty, and you become conscious, now you throw it into the washing machine, or you wash it and you clean it. So similarly, when a person commits a sin, then comes in a hadith, a black dot settles on that heart. And if a person doesn't wash it and carries on, more black dots come. And then it shouldn't be that the heart, Allah Ta'ala says, Kalla bal rana ala qulubin. Your heart has become rusted. Now you can't even understand the reality that you're going in the wrong path. But you should, a friend should all the time encourage his friend. Just come to the majlis. And when you come to the majlis, then you see the barakat of these majalis are such, you'll realize that, see what dirt has come on. Forget my outward garment, my internal garment, my roof has become so blessed, so dirty. How to wash the we all know all the detergents of the clothes. The detergents of the heart Allah has made so beautifully that a person just takes out a drop of tear of regret. And you feel sad, and you feel terrible about yourself. And this is tawbah. Tawbah is an-nadamatu, to feel regretful. Even to say the word tawbah, that is not sufficient. Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. That a person makes tawbah, one is to say astaghfirullah, but correct your life. Start making your life, bring your life in order. So Hazrat says, the first step is a person feels the shame of himself, and one drop of fear of the love of Allah Ta'ala comes out, all that blackness is wiped out. Allah Ta'ala now makes that heart a shining heart. and that person that was going, was a nari, going towards Jahannam, he becomes a nuri. Allah Ta'ala puts nur of the love of Allah Ta'ala in that heart. So never ever, Hazrat teaches us here in the next stanza, that gunahgaro ki mat tahkir kar e zaid e nada, ke unki aah wazari par falak bhi rota rehta hai. That old person who think that you are zaid, just inclined from this world, you engage in your ibadat, never ever look down upon any sinful person. And as Hazrat has taught us so beautifully, behind every saint, there's a history. And in front of every the sinful person, there is a great future. Never ever think that I am doomed. We see many of the pious servants of Allah, what was their previous life? Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, through the barakat of the sohbat and company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what life they had and where they reached. Just by a person realizing, having the sincere regret and shedding tears of regret, and that tears then become the tears of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That can put off the whole fire of Jahannam also. So Hazrat says, never ever think bad, never ever look down upon a sinful person. Because when he makes ah, when he gets that regret and that tawbah comes out from his heart, then even the skies cry. Even the angels, they start envying this person, that look how he has changed his whole life. And there are many incidents, no time to go into that, but a person should realize that these are the blessings of these majalis, which is actually majalis of Islam, majalis of Tawbah, that I myself realize what kind of life am I still living. Living in a fool's paradise, that I am on the path of the love of Allah. But as we learn from our mashayikh with an open heart, that how far we are. And Hazrat explains, when you realize this and you make the tawbah, as Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, the hadith Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says, لَأَنِينُ الْمُزْنِبِينَ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ زَجْرِ الْمُصَبِّحِينَ. That a person who is sinful and now he is crying, he is throbbing, that sinful person Allah appreciates him more than that that person who is engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he is a close person of Allah, but this person is like a slave who ran away, a son who ran away from the house, busy all the time in his evil, and now he realizes, how can I love that life? He comes back, the father's attention turns to him, and the father takes care of all his problems. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala takes care of the problems of the sinful person. If we just make tawbah, we make istighfar, and regularly now you connect yourself to your shaykh, then Allah says, بَفَيْضِ مُرْشِدِ kamil, شَوْ دَرْدِ دِلْ هُوَا حَاسِلْ تَوْ دِلْ پَرْ جَلْسَةِ قُرْبِ مُحَبَّتْ hota رَحْتَ hai. Now, through the barakat of your shaykh kamil, that Hazrat who has been guiding us how to get this love of Allah through the beloved sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat says, by the barakat of me attending the majalis and staying with my mashayikh, that what Allah Ta'ala has granted me, dard-e-dil, the pain of the heart, which the mashayikh refer to the love of Allah as the pain of the heart, that a person has to go through this pain. And then see, as you progress, you get the jalsa-e-qurb-e-muhabbat. Jalsa, like the period you sit between two sajdas, that little time, but what you get so close to Allah Ta'ala, Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Ali says, when I get one sajda like that, then I'm prepared to sacrifice the whole, that time 200 countries of the world. It is so great. So Allah Ta'ala give us an idea of this, that at least we make a dua for this. And we beg Allah Ta'ala that Allah never ever deprives us of these majalis. And then Hazrat finally reminds us that a person has to remain firm on this path. Otherwise, jo ghairon par fida karta hai apne qalb o jaakar, bajurme be wafai haq se wo mahroom rehta hai. That a person who turns his attention away from Allah Rabbul Izzat and to anything else, whether it's illicit, haram, love affairs, terrible, or whether it's the outward things of this dunya, a business, now you are so overtaken with your business or your sports or your politics, etc. Then Hazrat says that whoever gives his heart to anything besides Allah Rabbul Izzat, then that person is a disloyal person. Allah gave you life, Allah has given you eyes, intelligence, brains, everything, and you are so disloyal to Allah Rabbul Izzat, because of that Allah Ta'ala deprives a person. So we should beg Allah Ta'ala that Allah never ever deprives us, and Allah Ta'ala always keeps us on the spot of the love of Allah Rabbul Islam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The Kitab Hayatul Muslimin, the solution to the problems facing the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ruh number 8, the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is essential to inculcate in one respect and reverence for the lofty character and habits of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is necessary that the morals of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam become established in one's heart, so that love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becomes dominant in the heart, and eagerness to follow the holy character of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is induced in the believer. Some ayat and hadith have been mentioned in this regard. Allah Ta'ala says that verily you, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are on a lofty character. وَإِنَّكَ الْعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Another ayat Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions the Nabi is inconvenienced by this act, but he does not make this known. He takes you into consideration by his silence. But Allah Ta'ala speaks plainly and cares not for anyone. This is a reference to a particular incident. Some Sahaba stayed longer than what was proper on this occasion at the home of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was anxious to retire for the night. They continued in conversation. Although Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was inconvenienced by the late stay, he nevertheless refrained from asking them to leave, not wishing to hurt their feelings. This not speaking of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in regard to his personal matters, and not to such affairs which come within the purview of the belief. That is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the belief and difficulty was given to him, but because it concerned himself, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept quiet, even though he was inconvenienced, but he made sabr. He didn't speak to these people, or he didn't tell them anything. Eventually Allah Ta'ala sent wahi and revelation down. Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu narrates, I served Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for 10 years, but never did he speak a word of rebuke to me. He never said to me, why did you do this, and why did you not do that? He says Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the kindest in disposition. Once Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked me to do something, but I refused verbally, while in my heart I intended to go where ordered. I then went on the errand. I passed some children playing in the marketplace and I joined them. Suddenly Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived there, and laughing, he took hold of my neck and said, are you going? I said, yes, I am going now. Another hadith, I was walking with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had on him a heavy shawl made in Najran. Along the way a Bedouin came. The Bedouin grabbed hold of the shawl and pulled it with such force that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was pulled forward close to the breast of the Bedouin, who said, O Muhammad, order that I too be given from that wealth of Allah Ta'ala which is with you. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and ordered that he be granted a gift. So how he overlooked the film and forbearance. Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu anhu says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never refused to give anything which he was asked. If he had it, he would give it. If he did not have it, he would present an apology and make a promise to give it at another time. Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was once asked by a man for some goats which belonged to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The goats were grazing in a valley. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam presented all the goats to the person who had asked for them. This man, when he returned to his people, said, O my people, become Muslims. May Allah, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives much. He saw the generosity of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he understood that only a Nabi of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala could give so much. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the sifat and qualities of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما بعثت معلما أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. This ayat of the Quran Sharif, we must have heard it many times, and in it Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is explaining the great virtues of the knowledge of Deen, that how great this knowledge is. Yeah, in this ayat Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء, that it is only those people who fear Allah Ta'ala who are the ulama. That is, not necessarily a person who has gone through madrasa studies, etc., and is qualified as an alim, but that person who has got the true knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, of akhirat, and that yaqeen. This knowledge is that yaqeen, that conviction on that life. That person, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, explains this is what was understood by knowledge, that you have this knowledge of the akhirat, that that is the real life, that is the eternal life, and that knowledge of that in the qabr we have to answer those three questions, that a person has that knowledge to answer those questions. And of course that won't be by the kitabs that we read, etc., but if we have got that yaqeen of the questions of those the answers of those questions, that for example Mar Rabbuka, if we have got the yaqeen, Allah is my Rabb, Allah sustains and Allah looks after me. It is reported that if not a single drop of water rains, not a single grass of blade of grass grows, and a person has doubt from where Allah will feed me, then that person's iman is still weak. So we are far from that, but to have that yaqeen on the zaat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah alone is the doer of everything. Rabb, our nourisher, sustainer, the one who brought us into existence, the one who sees to every need of ours. That is our yaqeen on Allah, or is it gone on other things? That in everything to use asbab is 100% correct. It is the major part of deen. It is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to have yaqeen on that is kufr then. The person, if he got yaqeen on his asbab, to take medicine, nothing wrong whatsoever. The correct medicine, which is pure and which is halal and where there isn't haram in it, to take medicine like that, but to still believe that this is only the means. Our job, we work, that this is only the means. But the real giver of rozi is only Allah. Allah can give it from this door, from this type of job, another job, some other job. And if Allah wants to, He feeds as it comes. The birds, when they wake up in the morning, they wake up hungry. And they got no shop, no offices they go and work in, nothing whatsoever. But at night they sleep with a full stomach. So Allah feeds them, and they don't have any asbab as such. They go and look for their rozi, and Allah feeds them. So, the first question, to have that knowledge, to be able to answer that. Not just to have the knowledge, but to have that yaqeen on that. وَمَا دِينُكَ, and what was your way of life? Yeah, in this world, if we live that way of life, and also we had that yaqeen, that this is the way of success, the way of Islam. No other way, only the way of Islam, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah reward our Jamaat brothers, all announcements, that our success lies in fulfilling the commandments of Allah Ta'ala in the way of life shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is as Maulana Muhammad Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi wanted, and in fact, he did not give any name to this work of his. The people called it Tabligh Jamaat, and that has become famous on everyone's tongue. But he said that if I had to give a name, I should call it Tahreek-e-Iman, to rejuvenate, to bring alive that Iman. So that is, so this year, this Alan, we hear it always. And Alhamdulillah, whoever is sitting there, they hear the Alan, whether they stay for the program or not. But hearing, making that Alan, hearing that Alan is a very big thing. May that reality dawn on us, and may it come into our lives. So in the qabr we will be asked about that. And مَا تَقُولُ فِي حَقِّ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, that what كَمَا قَالْ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, with regard to Nabi عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, we will be asked. that what was our belief, how much did we believe in the sunnat way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And really, sincerely, we all should take that little time, those few moments, and think that, do I really believe in Allah as my Rabb? That He is the one who gives me my rosy. That nothing else in the world, not my job, not my shop, I don't trust anything, that Allah alone is the giver of my rosy. And do I really believe that Islam, that it is the way of life? It is the only way of life. It is the only way to guarantee us success. And with regard to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today when we are bombarded with all other things, one of the major causes of the weakness of our iman is our exposure, which is also sohbat, the wrong sohbat, the things of this dunya. We are exposed to that and we don't get the things of deen. We don't listen. And we are only getting the things of dunya, whatever field a person can be. And if we just consider that, for example, the little baby today of 3 months or perhaps 6 months, he's also made to sit by the mother in front of the TV. He's watching some cartoons there, or anything like that he's watching. And all that is having an effect on him. Later on he's playing games, watching comedies, etc. Then we send them to pre-primary. Already all the other things, how much of deen is coming in that child? Hardly anything. The most he might go to maktab for 2-3 hours. Hardly 2-3 hours nowadays. And then that also, how much attention does he pay? How much, what does he learn in that time? And the whole day he was at school, etc. And the people of the world have understood this. Unfortunately, we are still fast asleep. The people of the world, that's why they are forcing, making the school education more and more compulsory. And they are taking more and more time for that. So all that is coming onto the child. And then if we see our normal life, though we might be like in deen, 5 times namaz, etc. also, but we are exposed to the TV, we are exposed to the social media all the time, all these other things we are exposed to. So with that has an effect on a person. And any person who is exposed to deen, and he listens, like we have come here now, opportunity that we talk about deen, we listen about deen, and we are putting our minds, so 30 minutes, 1 hour we are getting in the week, of 168 hours. Which other time, how many of us do some ta'aleem at home? How many of us we get some opportunity to refresh about our imaniyat? We read Quran Sharif, that also how many of us are regular? And even if you are reading, we don't read with most of us are not ulama also, we don't understand also. But even then the Quran Sharif does have its effect. But how much of us are regular with our tilawat, etc. also, with our zikr, etc. So we are very lax on this side. So we are exposed to that all the time. So that information of this dunya, that is over. And then when we are going to school until matric, and all the exams which come in between, excursions which come in between, the sports day, we might just thinking it's a sports day, but it's got terrible effects on a person. All these excursions, and then all different types of days they are having, an open day. All the time there is something, and then to study for that exams, how much a person puts in all the time. Then if we are going to college and university, and we are all the time in that, and no time for deen whatsoever, then we can imagine what we are gaining. And then how are we going to answer? So where are we going to get that knowledge? So this knowledge of Quran and Hadith, that brings that fear of Allah Ta'ala. But how much are we exposed to it? How many that our children, if we make them alim also, which is very good, but how many of us we will be in deen? But to say protect their dunya, that they get an earning of dunya, we won't make them alims. We have this fear, where will they eat from? What will happen to their rosy? How will they sustain themselves? How will they look after their families? This is also if their thoughts come to us. If we are talking this, we must think on which lines are we talking. Are we talking on the lines of Iman? Are we talking on some other lines? There are those people who were convinced of this knowledge and they made all their children also alims and they did not worry of their dunya. When we know Allah is Razzaq, Allah gives rozi, so then that yaqeen must be there. So this knowledge which Allah Ta'ala has given, to have yaqeen on this knowledge, this is one thing also. We were in Jamaat and one alim of West of Bengal in India was also with us. So he explained one day that he was at a bus stop waiting and another person came there, non-Muslim, and they started talking. So he told him, he said, I'm an alim. And he said, your children, all my children also I made alim. So that was a non-Muslim. But he said that you have got yaqeen on that knowledge of yours. That's why you are convinced that your children also you must make them alims. This is a different thing. We try and the children don't want to. They haven't got the interest, etc. That is a different thing. But that we put them intentionally in all other. And then in what? Today we are calling that knowledge. We are already teaching Darwin's theory of evolution. Where they are teaching, and that is regarded today as knowledge, that we are from monkeys, na'uzubillah. Can that ever be any type of knowledge? Any type of knowledge can there be that Allah Ta'ala has clearly and categorically stated it? How many places in the Quran that Allah created Adam alayhi salam? Allah sent Adam alayhi salam in the dunya, and from his wife Hawa, and from there the children of Adam alayhi salam came, and these are his progeny. And today, one time, one kitab we prepared here in the madrasa, we gave it to a few university students also to check about this, man is not from a monkey, but man is from Allah Ta'ala, etc. So one student who is normal with namaz, a normal Muslim we regard, but he says, my belief is up to now, then alhamdulillah, by his efforts he changed it, but he believed that we are from monkeys. So at the universities, etc., where they teach all this, that we are from monkeys, etc., and it's a major thing today. Today with the LGBT and all those terrible, can that ever be called knowledge? And Nabi Akram, so knowledge is that which brings that fear of Allah Ta'ala, of a person, the fear of the Akhirat. Each one of us, we see the lives of the Sahaba, the lives of the Awliya, how they were concerned about the Akhirat all the time. That how my mort will come, how my qabr's life will be, on the day of Qiyamah, to find what it will be like. Where today if we go to an ijtima or any other where there are a lot of people, it's not so easy to go to the toilet, to make wuzu or to get to places, etc., when all the people will be gathered. What will it be on that day? In Hajj, for example, a person comes to in Arafat, Mina, and one person just has to get lost there. Or one child or any woman has to get lost. What is the condition? What will it be on the day of Qiyamah? So that is what is called that knowledge. So that which brings that into a person. But today very sadly that we are extending this meaning of knowledge. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I came as a teacher to mankind. Was it to come and teach Darwin's theory of evolution? And today we are including that also. That the teacher, any teacher who is teaching, is doing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that I was teach. And a teacher, oh, the great benefits of what teaching, etc. But what are we teaching? So we have to see which direction we are going to. And in these times, for ourselves we have to be concerned. We have to be concerned of our children, our family, our friends, for the whole of mankind. And how all these evil things are being now pushed in society. They have been pushed into the world, and we are not worried, we are not concerned. So much so, each one of us asks, do I make any dua that Ya Allah remove all these things? The real dua is only Allah Ta'ala. Do we beg of Allah that Ya Allah you remove all these things from this world? And this is also nothing new. We don't have to be so worried that in 2 years' time this is going to happen, 5 years' time that is going to happen. We have to turn and use the asbab, du'as, amal, turning to Allah Ta'ala. That is what we have to. The King Akbar, in his time, he also wanted to make Deen-e-Ilahi, that one religion for all the people, which is being promoted today also, that Islam is not the only religion of salvation. All the religions are, whether you're a Jew or Christian or whoever, and we know how wrong this is. But in the time of Akbar also they tried, and till today, alhamdulillah, it isn't that the Deen-e-Ilahi of his which he wanted to make, that it overtook the world. So today also from this we must understand, we know there is all the conspiracies, the new world order, all these things are there, but remember Allah is above all this. The Dajjal is also going to come undoubtedly, and its fitna is going to be very severe also. But also we are taught, read your Surah Kahf regularly, so we are taught our protection. So now what we have to do is take our protection. That is what we have to do. So we don't have to be so afraid of the future, what is going to happen. What is required, our connection with Allah Ta'ala. And it comes clearly also that those who will take their protection and make their connection with Allah Ta'ala, even in those difficult times, they will be protected and safeguarded. So our children also see what kind of education are we giving them. And in that ilm also, are we just using the deeni ilm as a front, or is the real reality of it coming into us, or is it also just that we are using it to give bayan, to impress people, or just all whatever else it might be, or is it really that we are, our yaqeen is on that? With regard to that yaqeen, Allah bless us with that yaqeen. When the Kufar Makkah, the Quraysh, when they came to Abu Talib, the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on several occasions, and they wanted him to take away his protection he has given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must not preach his deen anymore. It's a famous incident that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasallam said, "You can put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand. I won't stop from this mission of mine." The reason the ulama explained there is that the sun is and the light of the moon is also from the sun. So the sun that is the major thing of this world. In other words, is the explanation and what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed, that whatever of the world there is, what I have come with, that is by far superior of everything together in this world. So much so, Allah reward our akabir. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, explained that one subhanallah is more superior than the whole world and what it contains. All the positions which they are in world, all the wealth that they are, all the corporate world, all the political world, the scientific world, whatever you can think of in the world, one subhanallah is by any time much more superior. So that yaqeen, if it can come into our heart, that is what is called knowledge. That which is taught, and the ustad who teaches it also with this conviction. If the ustad also got doubt, that if the father got doubt on his alim, but he's got doubt on his knowledge whether my children will get roti. If we got so much and that university degree will give him his roti, but this knowledge of deen, by that he won't get roti. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. We haven't recognized Allah Ta'ala at all. So this is that knowledge, that is the absolute knowledge. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with that yaqeen, he imparted this knowledge, the knowledge of deen. And that is not that we are great, great alims, we can quote ayats and we can give the details of things, but that yaqeen, al-ilmu nurun, the real ilm is that nur. And that nur which comes in that heart. So that is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with, and that he came in this world to spread it in this world. And today we are trying to say that knowledge is the complete opposite. Hey, that the knowledge of this dunya, of science, of math, etc., that is that knowledge. And that knowledge has got this value, that value of the alim, which the fish make dua for him, the birds make dua for him, the creation make dua for him. This is only this knowledge of deen. And really it is that which brings that khashiyat of Allah, that real knowledge, not just the words of the knowledge, but that fear of Allah Ta'ala that comes into that person. The fear of Allah Ta'ala, Allah is watching me all the time. We are afraid today that of the government, if I don't follow protocols, I will be arrested. And we don't follow the protocols of Allah, and if Allah has to arrest us, and if Allah has to take us to task, what will be our... Undoubtedly Allah is the most loving, most kind, most merciful, most forgiving. Oh, there is absolutely no doubt. But if Allah takes a person to task, what will happen to a person? Whether it is even in this dunya and in the qabr, where a person will be all alone, nobody. Yeah, in this world perhaps somebody will have pity on you. And when all your gunas will be exposed to you, and you will have understood that how, what a big sinner I was. Many times a person, like for example, we are going to a partnership, we are going to now dissolve the partnership and we are going to take our shares. And a person was daydreaming, I'm going to get so much, so much. But when it actually worked out, he saw he had to pay in. Instead of collecting, he had to pay in. All the time he was in that world of his own. So like that, if we think that when I go in the qabr and I've got all this, all that, and if it happens we have to pay there, what will be our condition? And therefore it comes in the hadith, fortunate is that person that Allah opens upon him his faults. Many times we are like husband and wife, the wife says, you just don't understand how not wrong you are doing. And the wife and the husband feels the wife doesn't understand how much wrong she is doing. Fortunate are those people who we realize, and the first point of moving forward in any argument, any matter about this whole world what we are facing now, all these things, is to realize I am sinful and I have to make tawbah to Allah. Then Allah's rahmat comes pouring down. But wherever we talk about this, we are talking about the faults of other people. And we don't realize that I am faulty. That my what's the condition of my namaz? My iman, what is the condition of my iman? It's only Allah's fadl that we are still living. And if our iman is not in order, then everything else also will just fall out of order. So iman is the most important. So this is that knowledge. And the third part, that today our people, we are saying that this knowledge is all this other knowledge also. We include it in there. And from there, all the where and where we are going to, that man and woman are the same, which anyone can see they are not the same. If they are the same, then men must give birth to children also. If they both are the same, they are so different. And there is no discrimination in that. There are so many women who by far are superior than so many men. There is no doubt about it. They are great, great women. They are by far superior than great, great men also. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Asiya, Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, all these women, how great they were. So this discrimination, there is not discrimination, but everyone has got its own role. Everyone has to play his own role. And the greatest position the women have been given is through Islam. But also one side, how we treat our women also. On the other side, we haven't realized that what position Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave to the woman. Jannat life under the feet of the mother. Really, if that's how one want a person treat his mother, that how, what position Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the woman, and especially the historically how the Jews treated their woman, how the mushriks burying their children, daughters alive, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them this position. Today, you just say that we have been tricked and think that Islam is not giving women a fair share. Islam, just through knowledge, will teach us that how honorable women are. So may Allah Ta'ala let us get this true knowledge. May not let us make this mistake. And even these other things can be called knowledge. They are professions. They are to earn a living. They are not, it's not knowledge. Perhaps it started, it was at one time, like for example, especially the BA degree was just to increase your knowledge. While today every profession is in the university. Whatever you can think, so it's really just to earn rosy. And for a mu'min, basically Allah is my razaq. Allah will feed me. I don't have to think where my rosy will come from. Allah give us all tawfiq to understand and what our true deen's teaching. Therefore, always keep contact with the ulama. Read the kitabs of reliable ulama so that we don't get misled. Otherwise, our iman is in great danger in these times. We can have all the knowledge, but with that also, our iman can be in great danger. Allah protect us all. And nobody is safe from this. The attacks are on every person. And every person has to fear. And Allah loves that person who fears. And the person who is bold and daring, that person gets caught up in terrible things. May Allah guide us, inshallah.